it and give you some direction on how to teach them about this. And it's really kind of a funny topic for today, it would seem like anyway. But it's really important that people understand this. Let's pray. Father, I need you, Lord Jesus. We all do. We need to hear from you. Lord, I pray you'd make all this that's on this make sense. Because, Lord, I tried to put things together that I believe you wanted me to put together. And Lord, to me, it just looks like it's chopped up everywhere. But, Lord, you could make something out of it. And I pray that you would. Please, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. You know, as I go, you know, to the gym with Dad, and we go lift weights and work out and walk around, and I just see the world in general. I see this thing of boyfriends and girlfriends and dating and everything else. And even in the churches today, dating is so popular in the churches, in most churches, and they teach these principles. And Brother Russ has preached along this and probably definitely did a better job on what this is going to be here. But, you know, the thing is that it vexes me when I see young daughters pretty much just being, I'm going to say it, pretty much being prostituted out. By whether it's the church establishment that's doing it, or it's the fathers that are doing it, either way it's happening. And I'm watching it before my eyes, and it's very vexing to see. Because when you understand the truth of this, and you see it, you understand the consequences of it as well. What's gonna come from this? And I see young ladies, and I see these young men, and I see that they have no understanding of any order at all that God has laid down or what's important to God concerning this. Let me make one statement to you. There is nowhere in the scriptures, in a positive light, I'm going to show you a negative one, but in a positive light, where there's this girlfriend-boyfriend mentality that is here today. It's not in a positive light in the scriptures. By the way, in all actuality, what people don't realize is most marriages were handled by the fathers up until about the 17 to the 1800s. And then we had a wide shift and a change in the world to where it was pretty much, well, you just got engaged and married and whoever you want. You say, are you for arranged marriages? Well, maybe not the way the world talks about it. Maybe the way the Bible is. Yeah, I am for that. I am for that. Because I think we misunderstand what the father's role is in all of this. We misunderstand what importance of the family is in all this. What the importance of the local church is to preach in all this and to understand this. God doesn't like this whole boyfriend-girlfriend mentality that is swept through now and that where daughters are basically just given up for the slaughter. Or sold into what I would say is just modern-day prostitution. You know, if you don't understand what's going on today in America and what you see, these girls are losing their purity at the age of 12, 13 years old, younger sometimes, but they're losing their purity. Why? And some of these are in professing Christian homes because they've been sold this boyfriend-girlfriend worldly mentality. Say, well, I'm not good. That doesn't apply to me. Oh, your daughter is going to ask you someday if they're not properly instructed and taught. Why do we do things this way? I mean, why? Why do we do things this way? Why is it like this? Because you and I, hey, listen, you and I grew up at a time where, I mean, when you were like 10 years old, you were talking about boyfriends and girlfriends. 5 years old, some of us. Right? Talking about boyfriends and girlfriends. That should never even enter into the mentality of a child. It should not even be on their radar screen. They're a child. A man gets married. A child is under their father. Biblical principle I'm going to show you. A man marries. Not a boy. But this is the problem today. This chapter alone destroys this myth of dating. This absolute, satanic, designed, system that has taken the youth. and destroyed their purity. And you can't Christianize it either. And we're going to talk about that. That's, you know, so part of the reason I preach this is that you understand and are informed, and I warn you, like I talked about this morning, but also that people understand where this church stands on this issue. See, there's too much wishy-washiness out there. Too much pulling the plug on things. Too much, don't want to talk about these things. Don't want to make it clear to everybody. I'm going to make it very clear to you, and you may not want to bring your family to this church if you realize that we don't approve of dating. We don't approve of that. Why? Because it's unbiblical and you can't find it anywhere in the Bible. But like what many people preach, you can't find it anywhere in the Bible. But they just preach it anyway. And they allow it anyway. The Bible stands opposed to boyfriends and girlfriends and that type of relationship. We don't see these friendships of the opposite sex in the Bible at all. You don't see that. Where do you see where boys and girls were just walking around together and just young people, I should say, were just walking around together having an activity or spending time with each other? Where do you see that? You don't see it anywhere in the Bible. It's in a positive light. You do see it in a negative light. I'm going to show you some of those. But you don't see it in a positive light. Why? Because it wasn't supposed to happen. Because the more time those two people spend around each other, it breeds familiarity. What's that? Which leads to sin, that's right. Absolutely. That's the design of it. And the devil knows that, and that's why it's so popular today. And so then we try to Christianize it. So it's Christianized now, so to speak. Just like every other principle, the world is now taken into the church, and the church does it. But they just put a little bit of Jesus spin on it, so that's okay. Right? That's how that works. You just put a little Jesus spin on it. You can act like the world and just add a little bit of Jesus to it. Nobody can get mad at you. And you continue to do it. Just slap His name on it. And by the way, use His name in vain. That's what that is. That's using His name in vain. You're vainly adding Christ to something that He wants no part of, by the way. And didn't put apart. That's breaking the commandment of God, by the way. That's what using His name in vain is. It's not cussing. Okay? People don't realize that. I haven't taught on that, but yet I'm gonna. But using His name in vain is using it in a vain manner. It's calling yourself a Christian, living like Satan, and then saying, I'm a Christian, though. Sure you are. You're taking His name in vain. That's what that means. It's amazing what a little Bible study will do for you. Amen? By the way, the Bible says nothing of a boy or a youth getting married like that. It says when a man shall leave his father and his mother. A man. If he ain't a man, he has no business talking to me as a father. If he's a boy and he's looking for a girlfriend, he has no business talking to my daughter or me. Why? He's a boy. He's not a man. Men marry. Amen. See, that's the difference in the mentality. First of all, let me say this. Oh, by the way, the father and the mother are to be even be involved with the son until he leaves the home. Same thing. They're to be involved with that. Now, you're going to give him a little bit more leniency as far as how he handles things as a man because he's got to learn to be a man. Principles are the same, though. Principles are absolutely the same. But you know, we find the Proverbs 7, strange woman won't snare a young man if he's got his father there or his mother there, give him some guidance. What was this mother doing for her son? Warning him, son, don't go over that strange woman. You stay away from her. To warn you, my son, stay away from the strange woman. Over and over again, mother, if you don't think you have a ministry to your son, you don't understand what God's called you to do either. Because God says the lady is supposed to warn her son as well. My son, warn him. Be careful, son. Well, you know, it's amazing to me how minimized the lady is today in the ministry of what God has given her to minister over. You know, too many people, I know I'm going broad here, I gotta keep moving, but listen. Here's the thing, here's what's being taught today. Well, basically, if you don't do something outside of your home, for the church or for the world or this, then you just don't live up. I mean, you're not reaching your full potential. Yeah, you're not busy. No, but I consider that mostly that stuff a busybody. Is what that is. Okay? Pushing. You know what? You have all you can handle, lady. You hear me? You have all you can handle in that home. Loving your children, leading them, teaching them, and guiding them. Amen. It'll be worth it all. But if you neglect it, you'll go down with sorrow to your grave. And you'll regret it the rest of your life. Because there was always something else more important to do. Think about it. All right, first of all, the motive of dating is not biblically based. There's only one biblical reason why a young man would ever seek after a lady, and that's to be married. There's no other reason, biblical reason. So that alone is illustrating the scriptures that if man shall leave his father and mother, he shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be what? One flesh, right? That's it. Marriage. That's it. There is no, let me try this one out. Let me date this one. No, that's not biblical. That's not in the scriptures. That's a worldly principle. By the way, I've heard it in colleges though, taught that way. Oh, date is, I heard it on a youth conference video. This kid goes, oh yeah, date early and often and all the time as much as you can. And that's what this preacher was telling them there, stand up on the stage and blasting out there because they want to be cool. Yeah, preacher's teaching these young people that. That's what they picked up from a conference when they left. That's a great conference. Foolish. I'm going to say something to you here. The motive of dating is fornication. That's the motive of dating. Fornication. How do you know? Because I was a lost man. I was a lost man and dating was for fornication. I'm not going to lie to you, okay? I'm not going to act sanctimonious because I was a lost, wicked heathen. And my only motivation for dating would be to fornicate. Now, I don't know how many men want to admit that that's true, but whether you admit it or not, you know it's true. There's a difference in biblical courtship and biblically, and the motive is to marry. That's the motive, and to spend the rest of your life with that person. That's the difference. That's the difference in the two. And when it's practiced the worldly way of dating, it's only meant for fornication. That's it. It's the way it always was. It's just nobody wants to admit it. The Bible says to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Boy, that was easy. Let every man have his own wife. Let every wife have her own husband. That's God's intent. Yeah, you know what? I like preaching against things like this because I like calling this out for what it is. The garbage that goes on today and the amount of premarital fornication that goes on today is rampant in churches just like this or similar to this. It's rampant. Churches out there do not preach against this hardly ever anymore. They don't deal with it. Well, God still hates fornication. And God's still against it. The verse does not say, let every man date lots of women, fornicate with them, or become intimate with them, and then finally settle down with someone after you are done running around like a devil. It doesn't say that. That's exactly right. That's exactly the way it is today. That's exactly the push and what's pushed and assumed today. It doesn't say play with their emotions and have a young lady's emotions played so long that she gives her heart away and she is destroyed in the process. See how that works. Too many sociopaths out there today. The Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. You really believe that? Yeah, God said it. Don't you believe it? Yeah, how's that read in the Greek? Can I get a different definition? It's the same way. It's the same exact way. Nothing's changed. It's not good. Now, there was one preacher, a King James only preacher, which I am, but I didn't say this. But I've heard him say, that doesn't mean what it says. That's not really, I mean, I admire you for your standard there, but that's not really what that says. Well, what's it say? What does it say then? It says, it is not good for a man to touch a woman. Now, I take that as God being very blunt and plain, and you can't squirm around that anywhere. Did you get that too? Now remember, he's not talking about you hugging your mom, okay? What is he talking about? A man, a woman, marrying or not marrying and sinning. Right? So we get the context, okay? He's not saying you can't hug your mother, okay? That's not, we know the context. And the context is it is not good for a man to touch a woman. That means you keep your hands off something that's not yours.
Man.
Right?
Right?
If it's not yours, you don't touch it. Didn't your mom ever teach you that when you were a little kid? If it's not yours, you don't touch it. Makes sense? Doesn't it? Even a child understands that. You teach that to your child, right? That's not yours. You don't touch it. Well, if you didn't marry that lady, she's not yours. You don't touch her. She still belongs to her father. Oh, really? According to scriptures, we're going to get into that here. He says, oh, that doesn't mean what it says. It means no fornication. That's what it means. Well, what does the word fornication mean? It means the incontinence or lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female. Also the criminal conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. It means adultery. This is Webster's. I'm just giving you that dictionary. Old 1820 or whatever. You see, fornication is very clear. It's not just an act. It's all of the lewdness, any of the lewdness. That's what it is. Fornication is very clear. It's not just the final act. It's all things leading up to it. Hence, if you don't touch, you don't fornicate. Now, that's a very easy principle to understand. Because if you don't touch, you don't fornicate. I mean, easy, simple. Well, so then is God teaching us? Whoops. Is God teaching us that that if you don't get this far, you won't get that far? So stay completely away from it and you have no worries. Because it can't happen if you keep your hands to yourself. Just like you teach your children, right? Just like you teach. Now, son, that wouldn't have happened if you wouldn't have been smacking and playing around, right? So don't do that and then that won't happen because that led to this. This is simple stuff. It's not really hard to understand, right? I mean, it's really simple. If you touch with the intent, you will fornicate and lead to the ultimate sin. Now, there's a preacher that said this. The Bible says that it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It doesn't say it's a sin. It just says it's not good. You can have a little fun. By the way, this is a King James only defense guy that's written books. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of those guys. I'm going to preach on that sometime too. That mentality is absolutely frightening. Could you imagine saying that? It just says it's not good, but you can have a little fun. Now, by the way, Nate heard this exactly on a sermon. So, exactly, word for word. No. No, actually, it was Doug Stauffer. You know who he is, but I don't mind quoting people. Yeah, I give them credit for what they say. And, you know, and if they don't mind saying something wicked, then I don't mind, you know, putting their name to it. Anyway. The Bible principle is for a man not to touch a woman unless it's his wife. The motive today for dating is, as it always has been, fornication. What is on a carnal man's mind all the time? Easy to understand. Dating will produce fornication because the motive is wrong. The motive is not biblical in the first place. The pattern is off. The pattern is off. The motive is not to settle down and marry, it's to fornicate and fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you could not see yourself marrying the person, then what would be your motivation to date them? This is why young people have no reason to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It's nothing but a worldly principle. It's all it is. It's a worldly principle. Nothing else. Now, Baptists have found a way to shake hands with the devil and have Christian banquets now, where they date without dating and they dress up like they're going to prom. So then they have it, and then on their Facebook pages, they call it a date, but they call it a banquet everywhere else. So there's a guy that, and a lady that, a father and a mother that dress up their daughter like they're going to a ball, right? And they dress them up for some young punk. Amen. To take their daughter out somewhere. Right? So tell me, what's the difference in that in the world? Oh, well, they play Christian music at a banquet. Oh. Oh, okay, well, that makes a difference. What are you doing to those children? You're giving them the boyfriend-girlfriend mentality. You're giving them the Dinah principle is what you're giving them. Just like Dinah. Same thing. You're putting them in the mindset that it's okay to date. Amazing what chases people out of a church today. Believable. Thought I was being nice. All that sets up a child for dating. It teaches them the principles of dating and not courtship. You don't need to send your daughter to some banquet and have her parade around in a fancy outfit and pretend it's not a date. And then just put Christian in front of it so you can do that. And teach these young people to take them on a bunch of activities together. So there's boys with raging hormones and girls, and they're all together on a bus there. And I mean, honestly, really? We really have to think about that? I mean, is this too real for you? Is this too real? I hope it is. I hope it's in your face real. That's what I hope it is. Because the reality of it is illegitimate children and a life ruined. That's the reality of it. So you go ahead and soft sell it. And you go ahead and watch those lives be destroyed. I'll just come and tell you what exactly it is. Amen. If you're uncomfortable with it, good. God likes people being uncomfortable. It leads them to decisions. And at least your children will understand what this book says. And that this preacher actually believes it. Amen? And you might get some more respect out of them when they realize you believe it too. Amen? First of all, there's no young man that needs to even be thinking of my daughter that way at that age anyway as a teenager. Nor should it be heavy on her mind at that time. Shouldn't. Of course, every young lady raised right is raised to be a wife. But that's lawful. Not unlawful. I mean God's law. But that 15-year-old boy that is playing basketball and eating Skittles will not be ready to be a husband. Right? No, 30-year-old eating Skittles in that hole. He ain't ready either, is he? By the way, what he needs? He needs to be able to work with his hands. He needs to have a trade. He needs to be ready to provide for a family, both spiritually and physically. Amen. Next, biblical headship destroys the myth of dating. So many fathers out there have no clue of their headship responsibilities. I've even seen some people out there, and they are preachers, and they're bragging, and their daughter, they've got pictures of their daughter on Facebook with what do you call it, the shoulderless, whatever you call it, strapless prom dresses on, and just taking pictures of them and bragging that their daughter is going away in a limousine to the prom with some boy. This is a pastor. These are preachers and others that are doing this. And they're bragging about their hat. Oh, look at my sweet, beautiful daughter, they say. Are you nuts? Are you insane? You're sending your daughter out there, first of all, naked. And you're taking pictures of her. And you're bragging that some guy is taking her out. We've lost all sense. It's insane. Scripture teaches and shows the headship. Turn to Numbers chapter 30. I know, I'm going to keep you along here. I got to keep moving. Brother Russ gets grumpy when he gets hungry. So if I don't get moving, I'm telling you, I don't edit this either because it's true. He'll get grumpy on me. I'll start getting a growl like a bear over there. Yeah, that's his stomach. That's not him. I'm just teasing. He doesn't do that, but it's his stomach that does it. It's not his fault. He's hungry. Numbers chapter 30. Verse number 3, if a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound herself, her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows, or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul, shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her, because her father disallowed her. Do you see this? What is this saying? Well, this is a hard principle, but the father, yeah, that's his daughter, his son, his wife. But marriage is 50-50. No, it isn't. There's a head and there's a body that follows, and that's the way it works. And that's the way God is. Unless you think you're equal partners with Christ and you can negotiate with Christ how things are going to be. Hey, Jesus, I know you said this, but hey, I mean, we need to talk about this. Any of you believe that? No. So, in other words, if you believe that you have this type of 50-50 relationship, this is what's destroying marriages today. Because it used to be that there was a head and that there was a wife that followed. And the man led, but now you have a battle and a fight. Why? Because there's too many fundamental Baptist preachers that don't know the Bible. That's why. And there's too many of what they're teaching women to be rebellious against their husbands like that. Because they're teaching them, well, you have a say in how that goes. Now, you have a say in against sin. You absolutely have that. And if somebody is sinning and wickedly and expects you to do it, then yeah, you need to obey God. But those principles are taught in the scriptures, okay? You're not to follow your husband if he's wanting you to do something wicked. That's your obligation to follow God. But what we find mostly today is that women don't want to follow their leader. And that's sin. It's plain sin. Yeah, you can discuss things. You can work things out. You can deal with things. But at the end of the day, you got to follow the leader. Because that's what God said. Now, God says that this lady, this daughter of yours, she's not allowed to go make a vow. If she makes it and you hear it and you say no, God says it's not real. It's disallowed. What does that mean? That's why God doesn't believe in eloping. Why? Because even though you go do it, God doesn't honor it. If that father says no, you're not married to my daughter, you thief. Because you're a thief. By the way, if you did that, there's a judgment for that. Man didn't invent shotgun weddings or any of those things, okay? God had a law. If you broke that law, you might be eating some stones.
Yeah.
But if her father disallow her in the day that he hear that, so they're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed. Why? She belongs to the father. That's why. Do you see the principle here? It hasn't changed. She belongs to the father. Amen. A lady is supposed to be submissive to two men in her life. Father and husband. Now I understand sin gets in there and some things change. We get it. Okay? I'm just telling you what God's design is. Father, husband. It's his design. It's supposed to be so that the father just grabs her hand, puts it in his hand. That's the first time they touch. That's a transfer. Amen? It's a transfer of authority. Oh, that sounds like Islam. No, Islam has a different law. God's law is just. In fact, I'm going to preach to you pretty soon, coming up, the wickedness of Islam. And I'm going to show you how there's no way that the God of Islam is the God of the Bible, because the laws are not the same. And the God and God and he's not the same God. Amen. Anyway, that's for another day. He says here, but if her father disallowed it, and if she had at all a husband, when she vowed or uttered aught of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips wherewith she bound her soul of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. Headship. Get it? Same authority as the father had of the daughter, the husband. Doesn't mean he treats her like a child. It means that he has the same authority. A lady was meant to be submissive to a man, her husband or her father. That is the way God designed you. Amen? If you have a problem with that, you have to take it up with him. Tell him he did it wrong. Tell him he doesn't know what he's doing. That's like one of those free jabs. But it works because it's true. Because that's in effect. I just say things that you're thinking sometimes, because that's how minds think that, oh God, you must have had it wrong or something. I mean, he submit to him? I mean, really? I mean, no, we're supposed to be equal partners. No. No, you're not. Somebody lied to you. Somebody sold you a bill of goods. And he probably got paid good doing it. And when they have all their marriage conferences and they do all these things and they teach everybody wrong. Most of them teach everything wrong. Not according to God's pattern, but wrong. And they get big love offerings to do it. And travel around. Everybody thinks they're an expert. Have a retreat. I've heard people say, oh, this is for Israel. Really? God's changed? So he has a covenant people? Are you a covenant with God? Are you the elect according to the foreknowledge of God? Through sanctification of the spirit of the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that you? Are you God's? Or do you get to choose which part of that you are? And we understand there's certain ceremonial laws. This is not ceremonial. This is family. This is God's design for the family. That you would be different than the world. That you would not be the same as the world. That you would not sell your daughters off to whoredom. That you would not give your sons over to that. There shall not be a whore found among the daughters of Israel. That principle is the same. God doesn't want that. So he laid down a system to prevent it. Paul said the same thing, did he not? I'll get to that in a second. Exodus 22, verse number 16. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. What's this principle? Well, this means that you're not allowed just to steal some guy's daughter from him, take her and then marry her and say, well, and fornicate with her and say, well, she's my wife now. We just got married. No, she's not your wife. Because no one gave you permission to do that. You stole. Now, there's pastors that would say, I've heard these pastors say, well, you know, you just got to let it go. No, you don't. Not according to God, you don't. You don't have to accept that. You don't have to accept that man either. Whatever he stole from you, she's yours. And he stole from you. In God's eyes, they're not married either. If that father says no, then it's not a marriage. Now, obviously, there's some exceptions to some of these things when a father's a son of Belial or a devil, and he's a wicked man, and he wants nothing to do with God, wants nothing to do with that. I mean, he's evil. Obviously, there's going to be some differences, okay? God deals with those things, okay? You don't follow evil. What would she do in such a case like that if her father was a wicked man? Well, a daughter would have to go somewhere and be under some authority. That's what she would have to do as best she could. Amen? But there still would not be this eloping and running off and doing these other things. There still wouldn't be that. There'd be an authority structure. There'd be a governance over it. Why? Because ladies make bad decisions when they follow their emotions. And they can be taken by a man just like that. And some of you may think you're smarter than that. Eve thought so too. But believe me, men can speak with a forked tongue like you wouldn't believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 36. This headship destroys this modern-day satanic dating design. But if any man thinketh that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will. He sitteth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart, that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Giving away. Authority. See it? So as a lady, you're just not allowed to do whatever you want to do. You have authority over you, you have headship over you. That's God's design. Amen. By the way, that's not to enslave you. That's to protect you. When you see it as enslavement, you have a hard heart. And you're rebelling against God. No, His commands are not grievous to us. In dating, a boy finds a girl he likes and just dates her. Christian teens, they do these banquets and everything else like that. Dating goes right to the girl and makes the intentions known that he likes and wants to get to know her. He shouldn't do that. There should no man approach your daughter and when she's of that age and show his interest in her. Why? Because it's an absolute disrespect to the father. He should come to him like a man, look him in his eyes, and make his intentions known. Amen. Why? Because that's what men do. That's what men do. Amen. And that's the only way that man knows that you're an honest man. You don't try to weasel around it. You don't try to do any of those things. You don't try to get them to disobey their father or contact you without permission or anything else like that. You go straight to that father and you say, hey, could we talk? Why? Because that's how men handle things. And that's going to show how you will handle things future in life, in your future life, to see what kind of a man you really are. See, I'm not telling you this is the way that everybody's always done it. I'm not telling you that I did everything perfect. I'm telling you what God's Word says. That's what I'm instructing you on. What I did doesn't matter. It's what God says. That's what matters. Amen. We need to understand that the strength is not in what you've done in your past, whether you've been perfect or not. It is in that God's Word stands. And it's the problem. And if you've done this wrong, well, guess what? Now you know, you've been warned, and you have the opportunity to do right. Now do right. Amen. We don't see that design of dating in the Bible, except in Genesis chapter 34. Turn there quickly, please. Genesis chapter 34. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Hey, how are they living out there? What's going on in the world? I want to go out. I want to just go out and run around and have fun. This ought to be an easy principle. You understand your daughter shouldn't be running around by herself out there. Really? Yeah. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. Going out to the world and seeing how they do things. Checking the world out. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. That's the pattern of dating. See it? Saw her, took her, lay with her, defiled her. That's a perfect outline, Brother Russ. Yeah, I didn't see that before. Perfect outline, isn't it? It's exactly what happens. I'm sure he thought he could have a little fun too, just like that preacher said. He saw her, he took her. You know, it's interesting. That's kind of the same thing that Achan did, isn't it? Remember Achan? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Amen? Wow. Same thing, isn't it? Nothing's changed. Love not the world. If she wouldn't have been in the world, and if one of her big old brothers were there with her, that devil wouldn't have run up to her and did what he did. If her father was with her, he would definitely wouldn't have done that. See what I mean? See the difference? Oh, you're living back in the Stone Age. That's ancient times back there. That happened in the Bible. I mean, things are different now. Really? No, I think things are the same. I think everything, I think the wickedness abounds in the land. I think that Jacob and his poor decisions of how he handled things affected his children. It affected his daughter's judgment. The fact that Jacob let his daughter go out and see the daughters of the land, see how the other side lives, see how the people that aren't covenanted with God live. Oh, let's see how the lost live. See, that's one of the principles we have when we take these young men out and we preach. They know the end and the destruction of that. They're not hid, it's not hidden from them. We show them. This is life. This is what happens if you sin. This is where it leads to. This is the misery it leads to. Now war against it. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. I'm sure he did. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. Well, you got a little backwards, pal. You went about that a little backwards. And Jacob heard that he defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. Well, now we'll get the dads talking. It's a little late for that. You've already defiled my daughter. Now, see, if Jacob would have just went out there and took care of Hamor, if he would have just took care of business, then it wouldn't have led to the sons' rage when they came out of the field. Because by then they were enraged. But Jacob, as a father, didn't do his duty. He shirked his responsibility. So then his sons were so angry because of that and what happened to their sister, they with rage flew on them and killed everybody. Right? It was still his, but he sent his sons to do his job. He should have done it. Amen? Nobody will care for your daughter like you will until one day a man does it you know and you trust. And that man has to understand what taking care of that daughter means. And if he fails in that, then he can't be her husband. Amen? You see, Dinah, she had no covering. She was by herself. What happened? A boy liked her, appealed to her emotionally, and lied with her and defiled her. That's what boyfriends do. That's what they do. Right? Anybody want to argue that? Oh, no, they don't do that. Really? I don't know what planet you're from then. Because where I come from, that's all they did. A proper man that wants to marry your daughter will have a relationship with the father first before the daughter. He understands authority and the way it works. Shechem decided to take the daughter of Jacob, who was out roaming around the land, and no, I don't want my daughter out roaming around. That's not fair. Might not be, but I still don't want it. Amen? But the principle violated when this young girl ran around and looked at the daughters of the land. What was she doing? I'm not talking about driving to the store and grabbing some milk, okay? What are we talking about here? Okay? We're talking about, here's this young girl, and she went out to fellowship with the daughters of the land, to look at them, to see how they were living. She had an attraction to the way they were living. Now, if a brother would have been with her, or a man would have been with her, chances are, none of that would have happened. Amen. Would have been different. Things wouldn't have worked out that way. Why? Well, you think about it. If you had a sister and you're a man, do you think that would happen? No. He saw somebody vulnerable and he took advantage of her. He saw a young girl that was out looking around and he got her. By the way, that happens to Christians all the time. That very thing. The headship of the father prevents such things, or at least minimizes the chances of it happening. God designed a lady to desire a man. She should first be in a godly subjection to her father and emotionally love her father with a pure biblical love. And the father then teaches through proper biblical parental love what that means. Dating steals the heart of the girl or a young man away from their parents and gives it away without the father's consent. That's why there should always be someone with them as they talk about things. And after that's already been approved, there should be that. Why? Things happen fast. Emotions get tied up. When you're older even, you have to be careful, obviously. But when you're younger, and this is all new to you, and everything's just moving rapidly in your mind and your heart. And if your heart is not safely, a young lady's heart is not safely with her father, in that case, it can be swayed quickly. Just like that. So many girls have been taken by a young man who steals their heart, and the father giving them away at the altar is just some kind of formality. All it is wickedness and confusion. The father should have the full trust and heart of that daughter, that he should be able to pull the plug on any relationship that comes up, that after he's already even approved it or whatever, to continue on or to talk or whatever, he should be able to pull it at any time and be done with it. And that girl should trust her father enough to walk away and follow him. Amen. It should be that way. That trust should be built up that strong, that they know that dad has my best interests. And dad's looking out for me and mom's looking out for me. That should already be there. But many times today, the fathers ignore their responsibility. Dating destroys all this. Their daughters are seduced away from the father because he allows it to pretty much happen. Just like Jacob let it happen with his daughter. It's like fathers send their daughters off to college. Go ahead. See ya. Don't get in trouble. Sad. They send them off with no idea who they are going to meet, marry, or develop relationships with. You don't see this anywhere in Scripture. Nowhere. Not one place. That's how these girls get into trouble and can marry a person that is not biblically the right person. How you can vouch for someone's purity that is never around you, that you ship off for somebody else to take care of for years? How can you do that? How can you vouch for that? When you don't, they're not even around you. You don't know what they're doing off at college.
You don't know what their professors are doing either.
Oh, that would never happen. Yeah, it's documented. It happens a lot. And in Christian colleges. The father is to have that heart. My son, give me mine heart. That father is to have that heart. And the way it surfaces, this guy is a bum, is when the father can send him packing and the daughter's heart is safely with her father. When he realizes, hey, this isn't the right one, or this person isn't going to be the right person for you, go on. Instead of a secondary meeting after you've already been talking to a man for months. And then you introduce him to your father, or he introduces himself to your father. After he's already dated you, or after he's already talked to you, or after he's already possibly seduced your spirit, seduced your heart into following them. And then you say, here's my father. Come meet my father. Well, that's backwards. Because there's no filter on that relationship at all. Because that person already has your heart. And it's supposed to be with your father. See how that works? Because see, dad, if he understands his biblical responsibility, guess what he's not going to do? He's not going to let you get carried away with a man. See, he's that filter that stands there. He's the one that helps with your purity to keep you pure. Amen? He's the one. He keeps that way. Because he doesn't have any emotional case into it besides, I'm not giving second best to my daughter. That's his mindset. See, he's looking out for your best interests. You're being fluttered in your heart because your emotions can get swayed. But he's standing back and he don't act on emotion. The only act he has emotions is, if you hurt my daughter, I'll probably kill you. See what I mean? That's his emotion. That's what he's thinking. So is he critical? Sure he is. I'd be critical too. Somebody you raised and gave your and loved and took care of their whole life, right? Is it supposed to be secondary to me? Am I supposed to not see that? Is it not supposed to be that important to me? But when the father allows his daughter to date, then he is saying, "I'm not concerned with what you are doing, and I trust you." It's okay. You going out, have a good time. And that will happen. Most of the time. I don't trust anybody. And I especially don't trust the flesh. Amen? I don't trust a young man that wants to take my daughter off somewhere alone. Do you? Because I know what I did. For what purpose? You can get to know her right here in this family. Right there. Amen. Why not? Why can't you? Remember, you're going to be marrying, and this family is going to be a part of you. If you're interested in marriage, you better get to know them right here. There ain't nothing you should be able to can't say in this room to my daughter that you would need to say somewhere else without me being around. If it is, then your intentions are not pure. Your intentions are different. And if I'm cramping your style, that means your style is not mine and you better leave. Makes sense? Doesn't it? What would you need to say without parents being around that was wholesome and good and right? I mean, it's simple stuff, right? It makes sense, doesn't it? For what purpose would you need to do that? I trust God's word and his order. I heard a pastor say once here in Minnesota Baptist, he said, well, I don't preach against dating because I don't see courtship in the Bible. I'm not kidding you. And he has a doctorate. You better send that back. He said it. I said, well, I don't think, I'm thinking to myself, I don't think you read the Bible then, because it's very clear. I don't push courtship very much. I don't say a lot about dating. Exactly. There's only a negative thing about dating. And I mean, obviously, the headship is an issue that should be there. I mean, people should understand this, the father's responsibility. Has God changed? Have we evolved? Are we better than God now? Are we smarter than God now? Do we have a better track record than God's way does? Or do we have a new system? Or have we just evolved the sexes and feminism so much that we can't accept this anymore? That's really what the problem is with the whole dating thing and everything. Guys are meant to look like a big Neanderthal. I don't care what you call me. I can call something every day. It don't matter to me. What matters to me is that girl that I've raised for purity stays that way. That's what matters to me. And that young man that I've raised for that stays that way. Closing here, Deuteronomy chapter 22. Just think about this. But if a man, verse number 25, but if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel, look at that. God put him to death. God put rapists to death. You think that might be better than keeping him in a cage for 50 years? I said it before. Somebody said something. Well, prisoners get fed better than soldiers do. I said, well, I got a good answer for that. Open up the jails. The ones that need to be put to death, put them to death. The others, let them go and pay their debt. It's pretty simple. Prison is not biblical, by the way. Most of the design of prison is not biblical. But I'll save that for something else. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lie with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and that betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. Now, this is free, okay? But do you see how this is contrary to Islam? See, they would put the woman to death, or they would stone the woman or beat the woman for some guy raping her. That's not what God's law says, is it? That's why Jehovah is not Allah. Allah is a devil. And he has an unjust, wicked law. Satan's law is what Islam is. Well, back to their mother, Rome. Anyway, but you see here the principle. Here's the thing. How could you verify that if your daughter's never around, you don't know anything about her, where she's at, what she's doing? You send her off. How could you verify any of that? God meant for a lady to have a covering. That's how he designed it. Dating destroys that. Dating destroys the biblical principle, but God's word destroys the myth of dating. Because you can't find dating anywhere like that. It's not there. God has a design. And it's called courtship. It's called the headship of the father over his children. And yeah, fathers dealt with each other. And fathers talked. And fathers did this and gave their daughters away. That whole, the whole thing, and I've preached on this before, so I'm done. But the whole thing of giving away, that's not some symbolism. It's a transfer of that authority saying, this, my daughter, was mine, and now she's yours. Take care of her, love her like I did. You promise when I put that hand in yours that you're going to care for her just like I would, and I did, her whole life. And you're going to lead her into righteousness and love her just like Christ loved the church, because that's how I've loved her. Amen? You see the difference? Dating distorts that. All the dating and all the worldly things, that all distorts that. There's no accountability in dating. There's no accountability of any of that. There's no headship in any of that. It's just do what you want to. I trust you. It'll be okay. It'll all work out. Stop trusting the flesh and the devil. You're a fool if you do. Amen. This is hard speech. Who can hear it? Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. It's true, Lord, all of it. We believe it. Help us to love it. Help us to embrace it and follow it and live for it and by it. Lord, bless the time we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.